This podcast is sponsored by Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity shot. It's made up of a combination of winning ingredients, including matcha, bacopa, monieri, and lion's mane mushrooms. These ingredients combined can help increase focus, reduce anxiety, and help to combat stress.
As someone who struggles with insomnia, I can drink Magic Mind knowing it will help me sleep better. It's not heavy on caffeine, so you can take it in the afternoon without worrying about not being able to fall asleep at night.
I have limited time to myself these days, and it helped me to stop procrastinating and focus getting started on my to-do list in the mornings, especially the ones where I wake up very sleep deprived and just need a little help to get going.
If, like us, you struggle with stress and anxiety and would like to give Magic Mind a try for yourself, you can get 20% off using our discount code OUTOFINK20. That's OUTOFINK20 for 20% off.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Ink podcast with myself, Bea Baranoska, and Molly Lemon. This is a podcast where two anxious creatives talk openly and honestly about life as an artist.
I don't know why, but I'm waiting for you to start.
Oh, I'm waiting for you to start.
Okay.
No, I'll start.
Okay, you start. Go on.
Hello.
Oh god, I feel like we haven't had an episode like this in a while. We've turned up on good form until today.
Yeah, I could see when we turned on the Zoom, although it's not Zoom, it's a Zoom equivalent, but I could just see in both mine and Molly's faces the just lack of enthusiasm for this episode.
Yeah, and also this is the last possible recording date, so it's like
it was
almost
forced
like
upon us.
There's no leeway here. We have to be on form, and when that happens, we're not.
Oh no, my computer says it's gonna turn off if I don't plug it in. Hang on.
Oh no,
it's all fine. We plugged it in now.
Oh dear, we can't record.
Oh, what a shame.
How have you been? How's life?
Oh, you know.
Yeah,
you
I do know.
Know.
I do.
It's
know.
Just
it's hard.
It
isn't
is
it?
Hard. Yeah,
this life.
It's hard life. It's good days and bad days.
But at least the people listening, if they're also having a bad day, they know they're not alone in it.
Sorry for that.
I don't know where we were. Basically, Bea's microphone is buzzing, so if you can hear something at any point, it's trying to sabotage us.
So how are you? How's your week been?
Oh, just busy. Really yeah. Busy. I don't know. I'm in like a bit of a manic state of work, as you know.
Mm.
As you know, I can tell you're frustrated just watching me.
I just feel like I give you ways out or suggest things that will help, and you're just like, no, I'm just going to power on through.
Yeah.
And in some ways, that's okay. And in other ways, I just don't want you to die.
Yeah.
So it's difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. I just find it hard to slow down because as soon as I slow down, I feel lazy and...
Yeah, I understand that, but I think that's possibly a problem with your brain.
Yeah, I know. And then I just think, well, it's just busy for now. It'll get better. But then I look ahead, I'm like, it's not going to get better, is it? Because I just put more things in my path.
That's the thing. It's all in your own doing because when you're self-employed... The deadlines that we set ourselves, you're putting those there.
Yeah. And also, like, for other people looking in, it's fine. Like, yeah, I'm working hard, doesn't affect them. You have to listen to me complain about it all the time. So it's extra frustrating because you're like, yeah, but you could just do this. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to do that.
You complain about it. And then the next time I speak to you, you've like added something else to your already overwhelming plate.
So frustrating, clearly.
It's very frustrating.
I also am stubborn as well. You should try telling me to work harder. I might work less.
I don't know.
Be like, you're being really lazy at the moment. And then see if I, like, just drop everything.
I think that might backfire and just kill you. It might just find Maybe. You. You're just like, I'm giving up sleep and eating, and I'm going to work 24 hours a day.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway.
So that's where we're coming from in this episode. But we'll bring all the knowledge and advice, we promise.
Quite a good topic, really, for Molly, because It's you know, we're possibly discussing, do you find yourself having to give up something in terms of being able to survive?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the therapy session later. Should we do the anxiety scale?
Yes, let's. I won again. Congratulations, me.
It was better. I do think it was better, though.
They were very, so, very similar.
They were similar. So mine was social media comments. Anyone could have guessed that was my one.
Mm.
And yours was common sayings. But we were basically quotes, really.
Well, yeah, just sayings, quotes. We've broadened it.
Yeah.
Basically, Molly texted me and she asked me whether a few of them were included and kind of ruined my scale in the in the process because one of them was in there. So
yeah, but I could have guessed that anyway.
And I've left it in there because it's got to be spoken about in a scale like this.
It does. You go first.
Okay, so number 10, lovely, lovely, non-anxious times. it is, everything is a phase.
Mm.
Which is just my quote of the moment, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, it keeps me going. It helps me through the really, really hard phases at the moment. It's a nice quote, but also I mean it in the sense of like everything is a phase, even the good things, even the things that you don't want to be phases are phases.
That's so depressing.
It is, but when you realise that and you look at your life, you realise how true it is, and it's terrifying, but good. It can help you through the bad.
Yeah, it's reassuring.
And help you appreciate the good. Yeah.
Reassuring on one side of things and horrible on the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nice quote. Like it.
And then number one, oh, it's very predictable. You already know what it is, but it's just horrendous. And it shouldn't exist on tacky wooden signs in people's houses, but it does.
No, you've probably just offended half the listeners because everyone has.
Please. But you agree with me.
Yeah, I do.
And it is live, laugh, love.
God, we're so sorry for the people that are now looking around their living rooms being like, oh God. These are just our personal opinion. Strong
also,
opinions.
Be better.
Swap it for a plaque that says be better.
Okay. And then today, you can guess the number on the anxiety scale. But there are
2.
No, we haven't even heard.
Sorry. That's because Bea voice noted me this morning. So I just know she's feeling terrible.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I've just like greeted together a sort of, a type of quote here. It's okay. Not that dissimilar to live, laugh, love, but it's basically any quote that says anything along the lines of, but first, gin. And I've got some more examples for you here that can go in the category, right?
Mm.
These are horrendous. I think you enjoy them. Let the evening be gin. Horrible. I'm a gin dependent woman. Horrible. This one is so bad that I couldn't believe someone had come up with it.
Mm.
The house may not be tidy, but the gin is always neat.
That is terrible. I really like the evening has... What is it?
Just let the evening begin.
Let the evening begin. I'm going to get that.
I'm going to get it for you for your birthday.
Please.
Anyway, so yeah, I've just grouped them all together because I just think you can't discriminate against any of those. They're all as bad as each other.
Gosh, we've got similar scales.
And yeah, it's a 2. Or a 3, but probably a 2.
Yeah, I wrote 2 and then I thought, no, don't be dramatic. Oh no, I've just told you. What is going on?
Right, go on.
I failed so badly at this. Just delirious. I'm delirious. Okay. Right. Number 10. Grow through what you go through.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I like it because it's about, like, growth and even through the bad times, you know, you learn things.
You do. I like that. Yeah.
So yeah. And then for number 10, no, one. For number 1. When I had live, laugh, love and drink wine, that was there. I had keep calm and carry on.
Oh no, horrendous.
And I had but first coffee. So we really do agree.
Wait, are you going to choose one or are you just going to just put them all there?
No, okay, so I'm going to go with live, laugh, love and drink wine, because it's even worse when you add something on the end.
I didn't even know that there was an extended version of
it. Yeah, no, there's many, like live, laugh, love and drink gin, live, laugh, love and drink coffee, you know.
I think really, like, you can't walk into a charity shop in the UK and not find a sign that says something about gin.
You can't
gin
walk into
or...
a gift shop in the UK and not see a sign.
Right. Horrible.
Every holiday house we go to as well, they seem to be everywhere. And then, like, if you go anywhere near the sea, it's all about boats and, like, sandy toes. And
bro,
I'm like,
sandy
I can't
toes.
Cope.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's, oh, we're going to have offended everyone. Mm. Right. Do you want to guess what my number three is? As I've already told you, I'm number three.
It's so much harder guessing a quote than a number.
I know.
Thanks so much. No, honestly, because I...
No,
before,
you'll be there all day.
Yeah, I would.
Too blessed to be stressed. So I like the way that rolls off the tongue. Really satisfying. But it makes me just feel really guilty because I'm always stressed. And I know, like, my life's good. So I'm just like, can you just let me be stressed?
Mm.
Please. Mm. So that's it.
So quite an anxious episode over here. Sorry, sorry everyone.
I don't know why, but my eyes are watering.
Mm. And I just feel like I'm close to not being able to breathe. So that's... Margot's going to come and need to give me CPR.
Oh, God. Oh.
Right. So, we'll make it through. We'll be okay. Come on. Molly said we needed a really succinct record today. Minor editing.
Oh,
come
God.
On. Follow your own instructions. Right. Today, we are talking about... We confused people with this topic, for sure.
No, this was my fault. Can I just say, I wanted to apologise.
Mm.
I just need to apologise to everyone here, including B. So I was, like, really stressed on Wednesday night, thinking, oh my God, we haven't asked for questions. Winnie, can you stop digging your beds? Because... it's an audio medium. So first thing on Thursday morning when I woke up, was it Thursday morning? I don't know. I put on our Instagram.
Have you got a twitchy eye today?
Huh?
Have you got a twitchy eye today?
Like, my eyes are just watering. I'm just basically crying silently. So anyway, I put it on the stories and I said, can we have some questions about quitting? And I put EG jobs. And then, obviously...
You caused it.
I know. And then everyone was, like, messaging about jobs. And I was like, oh, dear. And then B put up a story saying, no, stop all messaging about jobs. And I was like, but that's my fault because I told them to message about jobs. Which is why I should just stay away from socials.
Okay, well, FYI, everyone. We've already done an episode all about giving up your job and going freelance. And if you want to listen to it, it is episode number...
Oh, early on.
Very early on.
It's probably not very good then. I wouldn't bother.
but we have covered it. We'd probably cover it a bit more. But really, when we were talking about this topic, it was sort of more broad, sort of about knowing when to quit something that isn't working for you, like a project, selling a certain type of product, pulling your work out of a gallery that you don't make money from anymore, that type of quitting.
So it's relevant to quitting your job, but if you want it more specifically about that, that will be episode four. But yeah, I'm really sorry, that was my fault.
That took me ages to scroll through, because did you know we're now on this is episode 41 that we're recording today.
And yet, has it been 3 years?
Huh.
And it feels like we should have tried harder.
But we've had quite a few breaks and stuff.
And it's too hard to do anymore.
It is.
And that's 40, hard. Basically like, well, probably like 35, 30 hours, something like that.
Of just us talking. Away. How horrible.
Absolutely awful. So sorry. Just don't read the job ones out.
No?
Oh, okay, read the job ones out. Read one of the job ones out. We can go over it. We can do like a little extra.
How did you know when it was time to leave your job and go full time?
We really have discussed this, haven't we?
Yeah. I don't think...
No.
Okay.
No. Refer to episode four.
Okay. This is more relevant. Have you ever quit a project and gone bank... No, hang on.
Gone bankrupt? Not yet, but it's on the cards.
Have you ever quit the project and gone back to finish it in a completely different way?
Have you?
When I quit something, I think I just quit it. I don't think I want to go back to it. If I decide that I don't want to do something anymore, I think that's quite a final decision for me.
Yeah.
I think I'd have made that decision for a reason and probably would want to use my time on something else.
That's fair. I think, well, I've got at the moment 3 woodblocks that I've carved, engraved. God, I don't even know what I do. Engraved and have never printed.
Are they quite old?
A year and a half is the oldest. And then a year ago, almost exactly. So like, you know.
So if you've never printed it, you don't even know if it's a failure though.
Well, I just knew it wasn't going to be enough on its own, so I thought, oh, I'll add something else to it, and I've put it on a shelf, and I will go back to it one day. So, like, I'm often pausing things like that.
Okay, so that's more relevant for you then, that question.
Yeah, but I guess where if I've paused it and put it on a shelf, like a block, I've probably paused it because I wasn't sure. I'm going to go back to it. If I've progressed, I might be like, yeah, that was the right decision to leave that there.
Mm.
Also, I don't really like, you know, I like fresh things, like new things. Yeah, going back to something feels like a bit stale.
Me too, I feel like that. I feel like there's always a reason that you've decided to stop a project.
Mm. So we haven't discussed our January episode, we were setting ourselves projects, weren't we?
Mm.
And we haven't actually gone back to that. And I have not done more than 1 month of mine, which was making a big collage a month, because I had a terrible time making it. I hated it. And then I was annoyed I used so much collaging material to, like, make a big piece.
This is interesting because I think it would be okay for you to just not do another one.
Mm.
Because you possibly just the wrong project for you and you've moved on to other things. Whereas I started that project thinking I wasn't really sure about it. Mm. And then I really enjoyed it. And now I've decided it's going to be my calendar for next year, which is nice. Very exciting for me because it means that I've basically done the artwork for my calendar, which is usually like a massive stress.
And also, when you went into the project, there wasn't the pressure on you, like, I'm making 12 pieces for a calendar. It was just, like, quite playful, and I think that probably really helped the work. It's really lovely. If you go to Bee's Instagram, she's posted a few reels.
It's almost sad now, because I've reached 12, and I think, oh, I like to draw more. But then I'm
you can draw more.
I know I can, but now I decided that that's what it was going to be. I guess if I drew more, I could eliminate ones that I didn't like quite as much.
I think you should, the white that you've been using, I think you should turn to another colour and then do another series.
Hmm.
Is that a bad idea? She thinks that's a bad idea. She doesn't like the idea.
I was just wondering, what, like, black?
No, like, yellow.
Oh, I don't like the idea.
That's fair. That's all good. I don't think I'm going to come up with my best ideas today.
Right. How do you differentiate between a thing that just needs more work and a thing to quit? Interesting question, that one. I think if you really like where it's going and you feel like it's got promise, but you're really struggling with it, that shows you should keep persevering with it. Whereas if it's not bringing you much joy and it's making you really upset, maybe step away from it. And then the next time you go back to it, if you still feel like that, maybe that's a sign it's not going to go anywhere.
I think if there's passion left, you should continue, even if it's hard. Because even if it's going well, but you're not really feeling it and you're not that into it, you should stop. But if it's not going well, but you think there's potential there and you're passionate about it, you should continue. I think, yeah, that's how I look at things. Like, you just see potential, don't you?
Mm.
And it might not actually come to anything, but if you stop, you might regret it.
Yes. This question is quite sad.
Oh, I know what one this is. It made me really sad.
But we should discuss it.
There were 2 people that said this.
Yeah, there were. So this question is, when do you accept that an art career just isn't going to happen for you?
I was thinking about this yesterday, of how I was going to answer this. And then what came to my mind felt really controversial and harsh.
What was it?
It was, how much do you want it and what are you willing to sacrifice to make it happen?
No, I think that's very valid, though.
Because, like, we can contest to the fact that being self-employed, being an artist, isn't easy.
No.
And like, there's parts that are really nice to it, but it's not an easy route for making a living. And for example, I was up till 11:45 last night working, and I put my alarm on for 5:45. Now, if you don't have I'm not saying that's healthy, but I really want to succeed and I feel like I know where I'm going in a way. So I'm willing to make that sacrifice. And yes, friendships suffer, relationship with Sam suffers, my health suffers. But like for me, I put it so there because I really believe that's what I'm meant to be doing. And I'm not saying if you just work really hard, you'll get there, because there's luck involved as well. But yeah, just how important is it to you that that is what you do for a living? It's like a good question to ask yourself. Because if you decide you want to have children, that's a huge sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice elements of your freedom to
all,
have a child?
All your freedom.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say that. But it's like that. It's a big decision. Like, you can make it happen, I think, but it's like you will have to lose things along the way to make it happen.
I think if you're really passionate about something, you do what it takes to help yourself succeed. As you say, like, along the way there's definitely a lot of luck involved, but also hard work and perseverance plays a big part.
I guess there's circumstance as well. Like, I'm talking from a really privileged position here. Like, I was able to stay up late and get up early. I didn't have anyone depending on me. So I don't want to be like just being like, oh, just try harder. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, are you able to sacrifice some things to make it happen? Are you willing to? Are you willing to, and are you able?
Also, I think if I currently wasn't self-employed, but I was trying to do that, it would be a lot harder for me in my current circumstances than when I did do it.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have the time or the resources or the energy that I did have.
Yeah.
Pre-parenting.
Yeah.
So maybe if it's not happening for you right now in your life, it doesn't mean it won't happen for you. It just means maybe you need to reevaluate or shift things around, or just wait a little bit longer until a time where you can devote more to it, and then it might happen for you then.
Yeah. And also, if like you'd love making art, it's not happening financially, but you're really passionate about your art, you can still be like a brilliant artist making brilliant work. It doesn't have to pay the bills. If the art is the main thing, then you've always got that. Everyone has access to make art one way or another. But it's like, does it have to pay your bills? Are you that sure that that is exactly what you need? Or can it just be something that you do?
Yeah.
But it is a sad question, because so many people are struggling. Like, so many small businesses are struggling at the moment and are asking themselves these questions. Like, you know, and you say to your partner, oh, I've given myself 2 years to see how it goes. And you get into the end of those 2 years and you're like, this isn't happening yet. And then it's like a big decision.
Yeah, and I've so been there. I've been in that position where I thought, maybe, you know, maybe this isn't going to work anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a really sad thought that pops into your head.
And it's scary because you've told everyone, like, this is what I'm going to do. And then you've got feelings of, like, failure and, like, judgment, you know. It's, like, it's quite heavy thought to have, isn't it?
It is. But we all think it. We all doubt ourselves all the time. Even the most successful businesses probably still have, you know, lulls or moments where they think, is this going to succeed forever? Can something succeed forever? That's a question that probably everyone thinks. Like, for example, the year 2020, which most people will know, for a lot of small businesses, was the year where people just really started supporting small businesses. And lots of small businesses did well. Lots of small businesses found themselves in a position where they could pursue that full time. But that was such an anomaly year, because then it sort of, it died down a bit and went back to normal. And then, I don't know, I wonder if there are then a lot of small businesses in a position where they had quit and become full-time because they were relying on that really great year. And then
I think that happened a lot. Like, I do think a lot of did you go full-time in 2020 or 20?
I'm talking about myself. Definitely.
So it's like that, obviously it was going to happen because people were suddenly able to make enough to make a living from their businesses, like more so than before. But they started from like up, so normally, like, so I'd started a bit before. And I started from the bottom, making a loss. And then I went up in 2020 and then down. But people would started from up and then went down. And it's like, people know that a business is meant to go up, like growth. Although I don't believe that for like a one person small business.
No.
I think consistency is ideal. But, although not possible. But yeah, I just feel like then it's been a big shock, because if every year your sales are decreasing, you're like, when is this going to stop?
Yeah.
When is this going to plateau and just be consistent?
I think I knew, really. In 2020, when I decided, okay, I'm going to go full-time with this, I knew that those sales figures weren't going to stay there because they were just so good.
Yeah.
In 2020. And I just almost didn't believe that was sustainable. I just believed that because of that success, I could continue it, but to a more sustainable level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and like every time I release work, every time I ever have since it started doing well in 2020, I felt, well, this might be the last one that goes well. Like, I'm not ever like, well, I've got to there, I'll keep climbing. Like, I will try, but I know, like, there will be a point where it might just flop. It might just not happen anymore. So, yeah, that's the thing about business. It is inconsistent and unpredictable.
Mm.
How do we get onto this?
Right. This just says, I had a lino cut I was excited about recently, but then I didn't like it when I printed it. And now I don't know what to do with the block as I've put so much time and effort into it.
I guess there's two ways to look at this. I also have, you can't see it, but I've got a print behind me that I started in January. And now I'm like, oh God, that's awful. And I'm two layers into like a six layer print. And I'm like, do I move forward or do I quit? And it's like, if I quit now, I won't know what will have been. And also, I have lost that time that I spent on it. But if I continue, I might waste more time. But then I think the main thing is, you've never wasted time making mistakes, have you? Because you've learned.
No,
so
that's
whether
very
you
true.
Go forward or quit, you probably won't make the same mistake twice.
I think continue with it a bit more, as you say, and then you can always give up on it if it really, really isn't working. But yeah, you just won't know whether it could turn into like your best piece of work if you just keep going with it.
But then I guess the thing, like when I'm working on a block that is not going well, I start to feel really frustrated, like deep down inside frustrated.
Yeah.
And then nothing goes well because you're so angry at yourself for not being better. So like it's so hard, isn't it? Maybe I was gonna say put it to the side, but then I don't think you'll ever continue it. But then also, would it be interesting to start from the beginning again, like completely from the beginning, like sit down, work out what you don't like and just start again and look at it as all the stuff you did before feeds into that block you're working on now, so it's part of that process.
And it depends how much time we're talking about here, how much time and effort has gone into it.
I'm guessing
how much
you're
really going to lose from it. Yeah, which in the grand scheme of things is just 3 days.
So the quote I saw on Instagram the other day, which is relevant to that, is the work everyone sees happens because of the work no one sees.
Oh, that's great. I like that quote.
Yeah, so the fact that, say you've wasted in your mind 3 days carving this lino cut, but in a year's time you make your best piece that's really successful because of those 3 days. Is it a failure anymore? Is it something that led to something better?
Yeah, so wise.
Gosh.
Well done.
So basically, don't be frustrated with yourself. And if you feel like there's hope in the piece, carry on. If you don't continue it and move on to something new. Mm-hmm. And be better. No?
And take down the signs in your house that say, live, laugh, love. No.
We've lost a listener now.
Right. How do you know when is the right time to stop selling your art in a particular art gallery or shop?
Have you ever pulled out of an art gallery or shop?
Yes.
Mm.
I had this farm shop. This is really early on when I was still working full time. In fact, I think it was the first shop that ever said yes to selling my work. So it was really exciting at the time. And they put a big exhibition up of my prints. And it was perfect because it was a farm shop and they wanted, like, all my animals, chickens and things.
Mm.
You know, at the time, it felt like the best thing that had ever happened to me. And I sold in that shop for probably, like, 4 or 5 years. And then there was a lady who took over from running the shop and she started asking me questions about where I got my artwork printed, where I got my, like, backing card and CELO sleeves, like, just little questions like that.
Mm.
And then I went into the shop one day and realised she also started to sell her work.
Mm.
And it started to look a lot like mine.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is a bit...
She was thinking, when you were getting 60% or whatever, I could get 100% if I just ripped off her designs.
Mm, probably, yeah. And I just sort of got a bit annoyed about it. And then by that point, I'd started selling elsewhere. I'd started my Etsy shop. And I'd moved away from the area, and I just took that as a sign to just move on. I possibly should have pulled her up on it and said, why have you started copying my work?
Mm.
But I just sort
You're not confrontational.
No, and I just sort of saw it as the end of the road for that farm shop. And I'll always be grateful for them for saying yes to me, because they gave me the confidence to approach other galleries. Anyway, how about you? Have you ever pulled your work out of a gallery?
Yeah, I have. Out of 3 galleries... and shop. Partly because when I started selling more online, I was like, why am I holding artwork back to sell at, you know, a loose commission when I can sell at full price and get 99% of the money? So just a business decision. And also one of them, two of them, I was doing shifts in. All 3 at one point or another. Actually, 4 shops I was doing shifts in, not all at once.
Oh, she's such a quitter.
I am such a quitter. So one, I was just like, I'm not going to do shifts anymore. And then I was just like, oh, I'm just gonna move my stuff, because I can't deal with restocking, and it was just too much. One, I didn't want to do the shift, so that was it. I was out. And I wasn't making much money. And then one, I was doing 2 shifts a month. It was Cotswold Craftsman Gallery. So it's my guild's gallery. So then I felt, first of all, if I left, I knew that more people, they'd have to pick up the slack.
Yeah, and did you feel like you sort of had to stock that shop because you were part of the guild?
I wanted to try it out, and I actually always did well there. But I was starting to really resent my time sat in there, because it was really disrupting my month. So 2 days... a month, and then I guess that's like 24 days a year, and then that's basically like a whole month a year in the shop.
It's quite a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just struggling with it, and I didn't, for like a year I was feeling like, oh, is this serving me? Am I getting enough out of this for what I'm giving up?
Is that the shop you took me to in Nailsworth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a really lovely gallery. Do check it out in Nailsworth and the Cotswolds. And I just felt so much responsibility. And I felt like I can't leave, because I don't want to let anyone down. And I felt that actually with every shop I've left.
Yeah.
I felt really guilty that someone's going to be angry with me, and that there's going to be repercussions for them, and what will they think of me? Like, that's what holds me back when quitting.
On the other side of things, I've also been asked to take my work out of a shop before, and that doesn't feel very nice.
No.
But you've got to see it from the shop or gallery's point of view, in that they need rotation and they can't always sell the same work.
Yeah.
I suppose some of them can, because I do have one shop that I've been selling my work at for absolutely years. Please don't throw me out. but also, if it's like the smaller the space, the more you can see, they want to change things up, because they want to get in new customers, and they don't want people coming in and being like, oh, that again.
But then I also think but if you make enough new work, surely then you can, because you make new work all the time.
Yeah, I don't know why this particular shop didn't want to sell my work.
Don't worry, I've been asked to take my work out of the shop too.
Yeah, it just happens. It happens to the best of us. So don't let it get you down if that's been you.
But yeah, I do think that's, for me, is the hardest thing about quitting anything, is when it affects other people.
Yeah.
Like, I find that really hard. Like, I can quit something and just let myself down, that's fine, but I don't like letting other people down. But you've got to look out for yourself at the end of the day, because no one else is going to do that.
No, that's true.
You've got to do what's right for you. And if you, you know, if you quit something, but something that you were unhappy doing, it's actually better for that person, isn't it? It's like staying in an unhappy relationship. It's not kind on the other person, because you're unhappy.
Deep. Really deep chat today. This person says, when is your job just an expensive hobby?
Yeah, that's like the last... That's
it is very similar. I just liked the way it was phrased.
Yeah, I like that.
I sort of... Yeah, because it really can become like that. Like, for me, when I'm thinking about ordering new stock and the prospect that possibly that won't sell, is that just an expensive hobby? Is that me just buying myself loads and loads of tea towels?
No, that's a business risk.
Yeah. You've got to speculate to accumulate as well.
Yeah.
But it is terrifying, especially in times of the year where you're not making much money, and then you have to make the decision, Do I spend all of my money on something that may fail but may also succeed?
I think an expensive hobby is going to be about how much time you put in and how much money you get out. And I definitely ran a very expensive hobby for 4 years before running a business. And it was depressing. But I knew where I wanted to go and got there in the end. I didn't try very hard at first, though. First year and a half, I stopped at 4 every day and started watching Tipping Point.
But possibly you had better work-life balance then.
Yeah, probably. But I wouldn't change it. Because I find life quite exciting now. Like, I like the prospect of opportunity and creating opportunity.
I know, but I so spend so much of my time worrying about your work-life balance. I've got your back.
So is this where we talk about me quitting YouTube then?
No, I don't think you should quit. Basically, I don't think you should quit YouTube, but Molly was making weekly YouTube videos.
Still am.
She then came to me with a voice note saying, it's too much, this is too unsustainable, it's taking up too much of my time, and I've got really busy couple of weeks coming up, and I need to make them fortnightly. The next week, she came back to me and said, oh, I'm just going to make a YouTube video this week, it's fine. And she's still doing it.
Yeah.
You're just still doing it to yourself. I understand why you're doing it. I do.
I'm doing it because I know momentum's really important when it comes to algorithms, and also when you start something, you gotta start it. You can't just start it, you gotta start it.
Is YouTube as algorithmy as Instagram?
It's horrible.
Though?
It's worse, in my opinion, from my experience. So it's that, and then it's just like I don't wanna let myself down because I told myself in January I wanted to do a weekly video. And then...
But it's not letting yourself down, because when you did it and started it in January, you had a lot more free time.
To be honest, the thing that's making me not want to do weekly is not so much the fact it's taking over my life and causing me anxiety. It's actually the fact that I think I'm just really annoying people. People get podcasts and they get YouTube now, and then I talk about YouTube on Instagram, and I think people just must be like, you love the sound of your own voice. And now you I hate my voice. And you love your own face. I don't like my face, so like, just to reassure you. But that's, I just think people just, but then I sound like, I think people think about me, where in reality people don't think about me, because no one thinks about anyone apart from themselves, because we're human. Anyway,
wow, you're so deep this episode.
Oh, I don't know. I will go to bi-weekly when I hit 4,000 watch hours. I hit 3,000 now.
Well done.
Thanks.
She says very enthusiastically.
Yeah, well.
No, it's very impressive, and I commend your determination. I do, but I just worry that you're going from being a full-time printmaker to a full-time filmmaker quite quickly. And we just live in this absolutely exhausting society where no one can just, like, have a private moment themselves anymore. Everything has to be documented. Like, what is that? I really would like to have been born in a different time zone, I think, whereby I don't have to share everything I'm doing every second of the day.
Well, you don't have to share everything.
I know you do. Well, it's an argument to be had there, really.
Yeah.
Because I don't share everything I'm doing, but...
You're quite good. I feel like you keep things quite private.
I feel like that's the way it should be, but I also feel like that's the way that society doesn't want you to be.
They want all the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
Anyway.
That's probably an Instagram part 3 episode there.
Yeah, social media, how it takes over your life. Can you give a summary on how you're feeling about quitting? What are you going to quit?
What am I? Do I have to quit?
No,
something?
You don't have to quit something. It's such a toxic episode.
I think you know when's the right time to quit something. I don't think you need to second guess yourself. I think if we're talking quitting in terms of a piece of artwork, you know when something is not exciting and not worth pursuing. I honestly think you know, and you move on from it.
I think as long as you're not quitting something purely through fear of failure. It can be like quite empowering, like to quit something, and it just makes space for new opportunity.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We are Out of Ink Pod, and you can send us an email anytime you like.
But B won't respond.
I might respond. I probably might respond to
She's
Out of Ink
She's
Podcast.
responsibility.
@gmail.com. Oi! This has become a personal vendetta against me now.
I've quit from ever posting on our stories again because I can't be trusted to word things correctly, and then I get everyone else told off by B.
So it wasn't clear. It wasn't that clear a topic.
No, because I wrote it, which is why I'm banning myself.
Okay. That just gives me more responsibility, so thank you. Thank you for that.
Same way, you can quit them at any time.